Guthrie, come from Oklahoma, Guthrie congregation, and appreciate being here with you all this morning. I guess I want to start by saying, praise God. I think of my brother here, and you don't see it very often, but in my heart, I just don't apologize for it, brother. Because I look at it in one sense. I mean, I can understand how people might take that and think, oh, what does he think he's doing? But I'll tell you, when you have somebody who is willing to do that, somebody that's willing to say, hallelujah, in front of everybody, maybe spur of the moment or whatever, I think it helps everyone else to be able to say hallelujah too, and to be able to express the joy of what God has done in their lives. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I've heard ministers apologize for the Word of God. Do not do that. It's God's Word. You don't have to apologize for it. He said it, not you. You just repeated what He said, so don't apologize for it. If you're going to apologize for something that you did wrong. If you misquoted something He said, or you did something out of order, then we would apologize for that for sure. But I just appreciate it, because I believe we need it. We need to know what God has done for us. I was thinking about some of what was already said, in that they heard the prophecies over and over and over again. And you can get to hearing it and maybe you feel like it loses its impact on us. And sometimes I think people talk about Jesus and His sacrifice, and it just becomes so common knowledge and so that it takes the impact out of it. The reality of what He did. And it wasn't just for me. You know, what Jesus Christ did, a lot of times we can think, well, that He did it for the worst of the worst. And I could put myself in that category and say, yes, I'm thankful that He did. I'm thankful that He didn't exclude me from that blessing. But He didn't just do it for me. He did it for everyone. Even that one that's essentially lived their whole lives in accordance to the law of the land, as best as they knew how, and did everything that they could possibly do in their own intellect or own abilities. And you know that Jesus Christ died for that person too? Because they needed it. They needed it just as I had needed it. And it helps us and benefits us to know that. It helps us to know that gruesome death on the cross was for me. And I think that when you know that, and you understand the impact of that, and what would have happened if He hadn't have done that, and if He hadn't have come into your heart and didn't work in your life, when you come to the realization of it, you're going to say hallelujah. You are going to praise God for that. And it's contagious. So when someone sees your life and knows what God has done for you and the impact that you can give that in your appreciation to God, it's contagious. people are going to get a hold of that and realize within themselves that He can do it in my life. It could be just as real in me. And it doesn't have to be the worst of the worst. There's people all around us that don't really understand the impact of what Jesus Christ did and how far it goes. I'd like to go to Genesis chapter 2. And I appreciate your prayers this morning. I want to try to get my thoughts in order, but may the Lord have His way. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. A beautiful place, a perfect place, if you will. God placed him in there and said, him dress it. Basically gave him everything that he would ever need, supplied him with it all, and just placed him there and essentially told him to maintain it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. You can eat of any tree of the garden. You may eat of any tree of the garden. And I'm going to tell you, you can eat of anything that you want to in this life. You may eat it. But God is saying, do not. Okay, that's what I want us to remember here, is that God said, you may, but don't eat from this tree. So they had the ability within themselves to do it. He gave them that ability. He gave them the freedom to do so. But He told them not to. And the reason why, He said, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Plain and simple. Don't eat of this tree. If you eat of that tree, you're going to die. Did it say that God was going to kill him? No. Some people might think that. Some people might think that that God is going to, in a sense, destroy them as a result of their disobedience. And there is hell, and there is an eternal condemnation to those who are in direct opposition to God. And every one of us falls in that category. If you have not allowed Jesus Christ to be your Savior by His blood. But He didn't say, I was going to kill you if you eat of that tree. He said that they would die. And the same is true of us when we partake of all these things that we can willingly do if we desire to. We have the ability, thou mayest do these things. If we partake of them, they will have a result and an impact. We will die. And He's giving them a warning, telling them that if they do this thing, that there's going to be some severe consequences to it. And the same is true for us. I was just this morning, I don't know if I feel like maybe I need to stop doing it, but I'm going to do it today again. My son burned his hand. And what I was thinking of not doing is maybe not using my children as an example, but today, he burned his hand. And him and his brother were arguing in the back, and he felt like God essentially tore his skin off of his hand. So basically, it's like God's fault that the skin on my hand is being pulled off. And I'm trying to explain to him, son, no. God's not the reason why your skin is coming off your hand. He created you with that skin in place. It was a result of your own doing. that caused that skin to come off that way. And what he had done was an accident. It wasn't malicious or anything like that, but he burned his hand. But we don't blame God for that. And we don't blame God when we go astray and we do what we ought not to be doing and we go against His counsel and His warnings and then find out that our life isn't where it ought to be, or the repercussions of what those decisions have on our lives are unsatisfactory to us. We don't go blame God and say, well, God did this and God did that and God's... No. You did that to you by deciding to go outside of the ramifications of what God has done. Adam did that. He went outside of what God had told him to do, and he suffered the consequences of it, and all of us did, because it plunged us all into sin, essentially. So Adam sinned, went against the will of the Lord, ate of the tree, and he created a position for himself and for all of us, a need for a Redeemer. So let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, starting in verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So basically, that verse right there lumps us all into it. Because of Adam's transgression, it plunged the world into death and into sin. So that all have passed because of the sin that Adam did, and a result of our own sin, because it's not just a sin on us, but every one of us has fallen short of the glory of God at one point or time in our lives and are in need of a Redeemer, a Deliverer, one to save us from our sins. Verse 13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. So basically what this is saying is that, well, I'll read the next verse. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. So this was Adam to Moses. Before the law was even given, sin reigned. People did what was right in their own eyes, or what they thought good or right. And corruption got so bad that God destroyed the earth and saved Noah and his family. And so sin reigned from Adam to Moses, even though they didn't have the law. It says, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, or in the sense, they didn't do exactly the same thing that Adam did necessarily. They didn't have a specific law to disobey. But wickedness prevailed, and the imaginations of their heart was evil continually, the Word of God says. And so that was the condition that the world found itself in. Who is the figure of Him that was to come? But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, that being Adam, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And so just like Adam plunged us all into a state of sin, and the results of sin and the impact of sin is all over this world, Jesus Christ, one man, was able to come and be a Redeemer for every one of us. Thank God for that. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Okay, so now let's go to Romans 5 and 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's including the worst of the worst. As unimaginable as that might sound. I mean, we can look into the practicality of what it's saying here and agree that how many of us would die for that gross sinner? Essentially, pushing them out of the way and getting hit by a car instead of them. Sacrificing ourselves for their sake, for that gross sinner, the person that you know what they did. And it detests you. You know it. And how many would, it says it scarcely for a good man would we be willing to do something like that. But Christ died for the ungodly and for the sinner and for the corrupt and for the evil, essentially. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. I want to address something right there too. It's much more than just being reconciled. It's much more than just being forgiven of the wrongs that you've committed. But we shall be saved by His life. And what I gather from that is that it goes beyond just that forgiveness, but it goes into a life and service, a life of living for God and having His life in us. Living in and through us, the result of the salvation that we have in Christ. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. So because of what Jesus Christ has done, we have been delivered and freed. Freed from the condemnation of sin, freed from the disease of sin and the effects it has on our lives, doesn't necessarily wash away all the consequences of our sin. Sometimes those things continue on. Sometimes we still have scars from the things that we've done. But the atonement is a complete atonement and gives us deliverance and freedom to walk in newness of life through Jesus Christ. Let's go to verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So as sin abounded, grace did much more abound. The goodness of God, the mercy of God, forgiveness of God delivered us from what we had done and brought us and restored us and made us new. A lot of people looked at that and thought that that was unjust. That God would do that and not make them continue to suffer for whatever the deeds were that they had done. And I'm not saying that it's deserved, but it's certainly appreciated because every one of us needed it. But starting in verse 1 of chapter 6, he says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" If grace abounding is so much better, then it kind of sounds like I should sin some more and let grace abound over that, and it just be a bigger glory unto God. Is that what the gospel's saying? Is that what the Word of God is teaching us? That the grosser the sin and the more grace that God has over that is the more glory it brings into God? God forbid. Yeah. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How can we do that? How can we continue on in what God has delivered us from, forgiven us from, made a gross sacrifice for us, and we're just going to go right back into it? We're going to go right back into the thing that He delivered us from? God forbid. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We don't just continue on into the life that we lived and just say, "Hallelujah that He forgave me," and just keep on going. It's deeper than that. There's way more that He did than that. Thank God for forgiveness. But how about newness of life? Let's pray for the newness of life to walk in the new life that God has given us. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. You know, I have a background of more exposure to this than maybe some of you all do. But so many people that I've run across in my life talk about the sacrifice of what Jesus did and how He paid for our sins. And they just point to the sacrifice. They just point to the blood. The blood fixes everything in the sense of an atonement of wrong. And that's where they limit it to. The blood did much more than that. The blood sanctifies. But they just focus so much more on the sacrifice. And it reminds me of the time when Saul was saying, "I did what the Lord told me to do." And Samuel's like, "It doesn't sound like it to me. I'm hearing the lambs bleeding in the background, and what is this king doing here? And you know, you're telling me that you did what the Lord told you to do, but the Lord told you to destroy everything. And so what is this that I'm hearing?" And one of Saul's excuses was, well, we brought the best as a sacrifice. And Samuel's address to him was, obedience is better than sacrifice. Do you know that that's what the plan was from the beginning? Obedience. If it wasn't for disobedience, we all wouldn't be in the place that we're in need of a Redeemer, a need of a Deliverer. It was because of disobedience that we're here. The plan from the beginning was to be obedient. Just do what I'm asking you to do. Just don't eat of the tree, Adam. It's going to cause you to die. And whatever it is that God is telling you, don't do this. Don't do this. It's going to harm you. It's going to hurt your life. It's going to have some negative repercussions on you. It's going to have negative repercussions maybe on your children or your grandchildren. Don't do this. And I see so many people talk about the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus covers it. It's fine. You're going to talk about the blood of Jesus covering your sin and you're going to continue on in sin? You're going to continue to do the things that He's asking you not to do and think that it's not going to make your life sick and think that it's not going to harm you in some way? You want God to just fix all that too and make it act like it's no big deal? Was that what He died for? Did He die so that we can just go on and live our life the whatever way we want to live it and do whatever we want to do and He's just going to clean it all up for us? He's just going to cover it all and, oh, don't worry about it. You can't help it. You can't do nothing about it. Is that what He died for? Is that the salvation of the Word of God? It's much more powerful than that. Our God is much more powerful than that. He created this earth. He created these bodies that are so, intricate that I'm too stupid to even know how it all works. The fact that a child can burn the skin right off of his hand and a new piece of skin will grow over the top of it. The things that God has done. I was thinking recently of how our bodies, we could lose a pint of blood, or I don't know how many pints you can lose, and yet your body will somehow regenerate and you never end up short. And I was thinking of that in the connection with Jesus Christ shedding His blood. You think, well, wouldn't He run out of blood? No. It's continuing to regenerate. There's plenty of blood for all of us. Thank God for that. The Lord created these things for a reason. And He had much more in mind for us in the salvation of our souls than for us to just go on in our lives in sin and expect God to just blind His eyes to it and fix it all. If you eat of the tree, Adam, you're going to die. And the truth of the matter is if we walk outside of the will of God in our lives, it's going to create death in our lives. Don't be deceived that somehow, because you believe in the blood, that it's going to erase the consequences of your daily actions. Let God renew your life and give you new life and give you real deliverance from sin. Let's go to Jeremiah 7. Some of you might be wondering, why is He telling us this? Why is He telling us this? It's important that we know what God has done, why He's done it, the impact of what He's done, that we not allow other people, other ideas, ever thoughts, the wisdom of the world to enter in and start clouding our vision and our understanding and cause us to think that maybe we're just doing too much. Maybe we're taking this thing too far. And I will say that it is very important that whatever we do, that we do it because God has said to do it. All right, I wouldn't suggest to anybody to do things that they don't really believe that God has directly said or done or told them. But if the Lord has made it clear to you, you better do it. If the Lord has opened your heart and your eyes to see the truth in His Word, don't sacrifice that. Walk in it. Jeremiah 7:22. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. I didn't talk to them about burnt offerings and sacrifices. What did I talk to them about? But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it be well unto you. That was what it was about. I didn't talk to you about multiple sacrifices. Just bring me another lamb. It's okay. You know, just bring me some more blood and shed it right here in front of me. Everything will be fine. No, obey my voice. Do what I'm asking you to do. Walk in the path that I'm setting out before you. It'll bless your life if you'll walk in obedience into what God has given unto you to do. But what happened? But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. So many people think that God's Word and God's way is an oppression, is some sort of a burden. They think that the deliverance is just for the sin that they've already committed. But the deliverance is from the repercussions of that sin too. When He has us walk in newness of life and we follow His path and we do things the way that He sets them out for us to do, it creates a blessing in our lives. I've seen people who've lived most of their life for God. And there's just a blessing that you could see upon their life because of it. And I can't make that testimony myself. I guess in a way I could, because I was young when I got saved. But I did so much evil before that I don't feel like I can, attribute that to myself. And I still suffer because of the things that I've done. Is it because God threw that on me? Is it because somebody else threw that on me? No. It's the result of sin on a person's life. And it'll do it to everybody that has a decision to go that route. He said, I didn't talk to you about sacrifices. I don't want you to sit here and tell me about how the blood of Jesus will wash away every sin, even though it will. Okay, don't get me wrong. If you fail, if you've fallen short and you've found yourself back in a place where you know you ought not to be, the blood of Jesus is here for that. And it doesn't really matter how many times. How many times should I forgive him, Lord? He says, 7 times? No, I want you to forgive him 70 times 7. And he's setting an example for us. So don't get caught up in thinking, well, you know, this is the 3rd time I've failed. I'm surely washed up now. No. Go to the Lord. Let him heal your heart, heal your life. What I'm telling you is don't take the blood of Jesus Christ for granted and think that you're just going to run your life willy-nilly and do whatever you think you want to do and walk in accordance to your own imaginations and I'll just throw a little more blood of Jesus on it and it'll be fine. No, that is not going to work. But salvation is there for all of us. It's a deep salvation. Let's go to verse 9 of the same chapter. Will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely or lie, and burn incense unto Baal or idol worship, essentially, and walk after other gods whom ye know not? Will ye do all these things? He's telling them. Walk in adultery and commit murder and steal and lie to people and walk in corruption. Essentially what we've been talking about. Will you continue on in sin? Will you continue on and do these things that are ungodly, that the Lord has specifically said is ungodly and wrong to do? And then he says in verse 10, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these things. Will you have the audacity to come into my house that's called by my name and say that you're delivered to walk in these? And I'm sure there's not a person that would say, well, I'm not saying that. Oh, but you are. You really are. You may not know that you're doing that. It may not have sunk deep into your heart, the realization of that. But this is what's going on in our world today. Of people that are saying that these things, it's okay to walk in these things. And walk right into the house of God, essentially, and say that we're delivered to do those things? God forbid. No. No. It's not right. Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. May the Lord help us not to take on that mentality in our lives. You know where it starts is when we start making our own decisions about things and what we think is good or what we think is right, or I don't really think this is all that big a deal. But if God has told you not to, it is a very big deal. I look back at what Adam done and I can essentially empathize with the knowledge of what I've done. And I think that many of us could do that. If somebody told us, well, you know what, they gave me 5 cents extra when I went to the grocery store and I just needed that 5 cents. And so I didn't say anything about it. And I just took it home with me. And I can imagine many people thinking, oh, stop. Okay? It's 5 cents. Let it go. But if their heart was to steal that 5 cents, do you know it doesn't matter if it was 5 cents or $1 million? That the effect is the same. And that they stole it. And I look at Adam sometimes and I think, you know what? All right, you know, he did it. He shouldn't have done it. But, I mean, really, what's the big deal? It's a piece of fruit, you know. But it plunged the whole earth, the whole world into sin. We think sometimes that in our own lives, we're using our own judgment. We're using our own thinking. What we think. And say, well, you know, it's really not that big a deal. Come on. Right? And we might think that. But it's because we don't know the ramifications. You think that Adam knew he was going to plunge everybody into to sin and the condemnation of it and the death that was going to result from it? When we walk in disobedience, it has consequences, far-reaching consequences. Sometimes consequences that you wouldn't even imagine could even be possible because of it. It maybe seemed like a insignificant at the time, but it could be a very big deal. May the Lord help us to just walk in obedience to the Lord. Jeremiah 6 and 13. For from the least of them unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness, and from the prophet even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. That is not a good testimony. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. So these prophets and priests out there saying, don't worry about it, not a big deal, the blood of Jesus covers it, just go on, you know, you can't help it. They're healing the people slightly and telling them, peace, peace, that they're all going to be just fine, but there is no peace. It's not fine. They're not okay. And they will suffer a consequence for it. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. May the Lord help us not to search with all our heart for some new way. You know, there isn't a new way. There is only one way. Jesus Christ. And Him crucified. And the Word of God that directs us in our lives is through obedience unto His Word. It has been from day one. It wasn't about sacrifice. There's only sacrifice because of disobedience. The Lord wanted us to be obedient from the beginning. And you might, again, I'm going to say, you might ask me, why are you telling us this? And I'm confident that many of you, maybe all of you, are secure in your life with the Lord. And He's walking in you, and He's living in you, and you have new life in Christ, and you are delivered. There's a couple reasons why I think you need to hear this. One is, there's a draw from the world. And sometimes it can seem appealing. You know, I'm over here and I'm fighting and struggling sometimes. And it seems like, what is the point? You know, why is all this? And here these folks are just living willy-nilly and don't have the same convictions. And I'm feeling like I'm being cheated somehow, you know. But I'm telling you, there's a consequence to doing that. And you may experience and you may not. But the consequence could be in your life, or the consequence could be in your children's lives, or on down the road, or just those people that have confidence in you now, and it hurts their confidence later. We don't need a new way. Seek the old path. And follow God. And let Him direct your steps. The other reason why I think it's important for us to know this, and I think I alluded to it a little earlier, know what you've been delivered from. Know why you were saved. Know why Christ did what He did. and know that it wasn't just to forgive you. It was to make you new. Is it a knowledge just for you? No. We need to know it so that when anyone asks us a reason for the hope that is in us, we can give them more hope. I don't feel like we have to beat people up or hurt their feelings or come about it in a way that's condemning and self-righteous or whatever. But do you know that we have good news? Very good news that most people don't really understand that is available. That they cannot just be forgiven of their sins and washed and cleansed from all unrighteousness, but that they can walk in newness of life and not continue on in sin and not have to deal with it over and over and over again, but that they can be delivered. And I believe that it's important for us to know these things so that we can pass it on. It's not just my responsibility. I can't be around everybody that you're around. We're all responsible. And I believe that we can all have an impact in the lives of the people around us if we know what God has done for us and share it with others. I thank God for salvation and for the deliverance of my soul and for the newness of life that He provides, and I want to be all that Christ would have me be. So I pray, ask that you'd pray for me. I appreciate your all's attention this morning, and may the Lord help us never to forget the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ.